I had this totally sexy teacher. She was probably, I'm gonna guess, like maybe late 40s when I was in when I was going to school at Pepperdine University. I was a journalism major, and there was this, she was just hot, I'm not gonna lie, but she was also a PhD and fucking smart as shit. And the young men that were in my upper division classes that were in this class with this beautiful woman were obsessed with her. And Devil Inside was a hit song at the time. And we were studying for some final project that we had to do, and we had to deliver because she wasn't going to just give us an A because we're graduating seniors. She was going to make sure we did the work correctly. And so one of the guys in the class we were studying, and this NXS song was on, we were studying at my house. And one of the guys changed the words to "The Devil and Joan" and like rewrote it for her. And I know what he was doing in his off time alone.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Thinking about Joan.
Yes.
She was so hot, but it was "Devil and Joan, Devil and Joan." And anytime that song is ever played, I think of Joan.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Like
I've got my
now.
Little story about this song too, which is back during that time, I was friends with a guy who was a dancer and a choreographer. And so, you know, he was in all of the he did a lot of like Reebok and Nike trade shows. And so there were a lot of dancers that would come and go. And he was also in like a lot of Michael Jackson and Paula Abdul and Janet Jackson music videos. So I, you know, just because I hung out with him, I got to meet a lot of dancers. So there was this guy, Colton, who was in The Devil Inside. He's the guy when it says, "Here comes the man," in that video.
Yes.
That's Colton. And so I remember he would hang out with my friend Mick, and I had such a crush on him. And I was like, I think 18 at the time, and or 19. And I think Colton was like 26, and I so desperately wanted to go out with him, and I just wasn't even on his radar. I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't get a legal drink. And I just remember, you know, I can't remember what I did. I might have called him, or I might have asked my friend to help me out or whatever, but Colton never cared. But every time I hear that song, I think of, oh, Colton. You know, it's like I was so in love. And I remember my mom saying, "Kimberly, you're not even legal. You can't have alcohol. I mean, legal for alcohol." She's like, he's an adult. He wants to go out with a woman who can order a drink.
But you had such amazing hair then.
I did. I had amazing hair.
A little bit of weight. I found my senior picture, by the way, which I'm going to send to you.
Oh, my God.
And I think I just look like a little baby, but it's not.
Well, that's
it's not
the thing. It's like you still look young. You know what's funny though? When I hit probably 17, I pretty much looked like I was 26, and I stayed that way for a really long time. I mean, obviously, I don't look 26 anymore, but I don't. But thank you. I'm fortunate. I think that I've got good genes, and I'm not all wrinkly or anything. But I think a lot of people who look young when they are young stay young looking as they age. I don't think that I looked old. I just looked mature because I was tall. And it was funny because when I was like in, I think it was like a junior and a senior, I would literally wear my mother's work clothes every once in a while. She'd have like some fancy dress that she would wear to work, and I would wear that to school. The first day of my senior year, I had all these new clothes, and I remember exactly what I was wearing, this long, pretty, flowy white skirt with this pretty kind of like pink sweater. And I was sitting in my math class in one of the regular seats, and somebody thought I was the teacher. So anyway.
Never me. I looked like I was 5. I looked like a 13-year-old until I was about 20.
Yeah. Hello. Me too.
Oh, well, but Bob was always tall,
Bob,
though.
Too?
Yeah.
But Bob was, weren't you giant, Bob?
Yeah, you were tall. You were a tall young man.
I was very tall, but I was very youthful looking.
Yeah, still youthful looking. See, we're all youthful looking.
We are a little bit. Like I said, my age to somebody the other day, they were like, "No."
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it also has to do with attitude, how you carry yourself, what you wear,
how immature you are.
How immature you are.
Right now. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's
I'm a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like just mentally and maturity level wise, like, you know, my son and I, that I think that's why we are either just so in sync or just fighting like cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Because I am on his level at all times. That's sad.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I know this is the free show and stuff and we go personal and everything, but mm-hmm. I just want to say one thing. Doing this podcast with you has been like, has kept me sane. It gets me charged up too, and it motivates me to stay super active.
Yeah.
But it helps. Do you not agree that just to talk about the state of the world, the state of our country, what's at stake for women and people of color and just normal, decent human beings across this country, I getting to talk to you and then having, you know, Bob chime in with funny things and little news flashes while we do this, it's kept me like feet on the ground, sane and focused.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, there's an additional thing that, you know, moving to the East Coast, not having girlfriends over here. I mean, you're my girlfriend. And even though we don't see each other or anything and we don't have the opportunity to just hang out, being able to do these shows and, you know, in between, obviously we talk. And, you know, it really helps. Doing these shows helps. Having you as a soundboard helps. And I think that's the whole goal of, I mean, let's just say the Democrats win back the House and then we even take the Senate. And then in 2020, we've got all the power. I still want to do a podcast. Obviously, we're still going
to
do a podcast.
To the yizzes.
Because that's there's always going to be Republicans to talk about. But it's just a great way to kind of like, you know, I haven't really been writing so much as far as op-eds. I recently wrote an op-ed about compromised Lindsey Graham, but I just haven't been doing it lately. And I feel more comfortable talking about it. So it's a great way to help this anxiety that I'm experiencing and it helps me also kind of form my opinions, because even though I haven't been writing op-eds, I've been talking online and throwing out my opinions. So every time I talk about something with you or with Bob or with anybody, it kind of helps me realize where I stand on something and clear, you know, I'm going to be working with it's called The Maven, and it's just going to be starting, you know, probably this week. And it'll be an interesting journey for me because they contacted me and it's an invite only company. So I guess I had shared something from somebody who has their own page at this website called The Maven. And that is what got me on their radar. And I guess they watched me for a while and decided that they wanted to invite me on. And I know that, and I'm going to say her name wrong, but one of the women who started the Women's Marches, Linda, how do you say her name? Sarsour? Okay, Sarsour. She's got a page on The Maven. And, you know, there's the Intellectualist has a page. There's a bunch of them. I don't know if you call them pages because I'm still new to all of this, but I'm kind of excited because it's going to give me an opportunity. First of all, I mean, we're going to be able to put our podcasts up there so we can, you know, get them out and they'll go even farther. But what I'm excited about is that when you do blog writing, you have to write a certain amount of words and all this stuff. So The Maven, I don't have word counts that I have to worry about. I can so in other words, one of the things that I would like to do is on Twitter, you know, you've got all these people who are weighing in on a particular issue. So I can go collect tweets from people who I agree with or I disagree with, and then I can put them in this like post and have my say, and I don't have to worry about getting to you know, finding more words than I really need. If I want to write a long piece, I can write a long piece, but I don't have to. And that, like, it's so freeing to me. So this is something that I'm going to be starting within the next week or so. So I'm kind of excited. I'm a little nervous only because it's new and I don't know my way around. And every time I start something new, I'm slightly nervous. But overall, I'm excited. And, you know, I'm hoping that it will, you know, help us, because every time that we do a show, I can put it up on the Maven, and it's going to go out across a lot of channels that it didn't used to. So there's that.
Good babe.
And we're not really talking about anything too personal today. We were going to, as I said earlier, we were going to talk to Claude, but he unfortunately is on an airplane right now, so he can't do that interview. And then the last show, we were going to talk to David Wiseman, who is somebody who used to be a MAGA and has now seen the light. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, but Hillary Clinton took the article that he wrote, an apology to Hillary Clinton, and she tweeted that out and thanked David. So what we're trying to do now, the problem, we were having a technical problem with him, and we're going to try to, he's got some other device that we're going to try this on. So hopefully we can get that all worked out, because I'd love to interview him.
Device.
Yeah. So, I don't know. He was having issues with his Wi-Fi. So he's got something else that he wants to try. So we're going to just try it out, see if it works. And if it works, then we're going to do the interview. If it doesn't work, then unfortunately we won't, but we're fingers crossed. And yeah, we've got invites out to a lot of really interesting people. So we'll see if they come back and say yes. I mean,
October's going to be on fire.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
We might have to hook up a little bit more in October.
That's what I'm talking about, because the midterms are coming, and it's not to say we won't have anything to talk about before the midterms, but it's like kind of, you know, that going up to the midterms, it's that heat, you know, you want to push.
I think every little bit helps. And especially somebody like David, who made that shift. And I think a lot of people are about to make that shift given what's happening with climate. I mean, what these hurricanes that are hitting the East Coast and the Carolinas right now, this is a direct result of, climate change. These people, I don't remember if it was North or South Carolina, but, you know, signing bills to not pay attention to what's happening with climate and relief, and how are we going to take care of the people of our states when millions of homes are potentially, you know, in the facing, you know, extinction or apocalyptic sort of catastrophic damage is going to take place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, our Republican leaders are guiding us in the wrong direction, and our lives are at stake right now, and our homes and everything we've worked for is about to be lost.
This is freaking serious. This is freaking serious.
This is real. And the David Weissmans of the world are saying, hey, not only are their morals and their viewpoints completely effed up, but they're, people's lives are in danger as a result of it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think we need to hear from people like him.
I do too. I'm really hoping that we can get this get this going. So everybody, just bear with us. Hopefully we'll get David on, and then like I said, we're going to have Claude on the 26th, and maybe we're going to throw an extra show in October.
Mm-hmm.
So basically until then, we're just going to have to watch and see what happens, and where everything goes with Trump and Mueller. And we can only hope. I mean, we'll see. You know, there's this supposed 60-day rule that investigations can't hinder elections or whatever. But nobody like Roger Stone and Don Jr. aren't running for anything.
Mm-mm.
So.
Right. I kind of almost forgot about Mueller. You know what I mean?
I know. Well,
he
is mystifying, isn't he?
He's mystified me.
I love this. Is my favorite NXS song, by the way. Nothing better than this song.
Oh, anyway. The snapping. I swear to God.
It's so good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And like I said, if you're still here listening, Jen Kirkman is going to talk to Bob Seska today. So that's going to be, I'm dying to hear this.
Jesus.
Plus, I'm also very jealous. So I'm going to make sure Bob lets her know how jealous I am and that I want her on our show.
Yeah, we want her on our show. I interviewed her once.
Really?
For the Lady Brain show.
Yeah, she's so cool. Funny.
She was in her bathtub while we were talking.
Of course she was.
She's the best.
Woo! All right, cool. Well, then that's good to know. That's something we can, I'll tell Bob.
We're going to throw that out. She'll be like, lady, what?
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Lady Brain. All right, girl.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye, Bob. Bye, Kimmy.
I see your face, and I will survive.